on a Saturday rather than a Friday? Or?
Yeah, for track.
Yeah, we'll probably definitely do that. And when is you? Because don't they have spring break in March? When's that for you guys?
That's this week.
That's this week.
Ours is not
like Monday.
Yeah, Monday. Oh, really? Ours is not until like
it's like the 26th.
Yeah. So the last week of March for you guys. Oh, at least it should be the same, right?
Yeah, I don't have spring break though.
Oh, okay. So you just gotta. But you'll be out of school, right?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right. You gotta go to school for practice and all that stuff like that. Yeah. All right, well, I think that's it, guys. Let's just sing a song or two, and then I'll turn it over. We'll get the lesson. And then, depending on how much time we have left, we'll go out here and run around in the dark. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for tonight. Please bless the time that we have together, starting out with the song service, and then with the message that you prepared for us. Pray and ask these things in your son Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, throw out two songs. What are they going to be? What's the first one? All right, Lexi's favorite, Solid Rock. Go ahead and jump on your heels. Stand on your bunions. Let's go. Solid Rock. All right. Here we go, verse 1. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' love and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, his covenant, his love support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is 261 over here. Is that Tis So Sweet?
Yeah,
trust and obey. All right, here we go. 261, trust and obey.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but it's smart when he drives it away. Not a doubt nor a fear, not a sigh nor a tear, can abide while we trust and obey.
Verse 3.
Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil he doth richly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown nor a cross, never can prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor he shows and the joy he bestows are for them who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do, where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus.
But on that chorus, one more time.
Just trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Colton, pray for us. We have our message.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for bringing everybody here safely. And I pray that we have a good message tonight and keep everyone safe on their way home. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, guys, I'm sorry, but you got to hear me tonight, but we'll get through it. We'll get through it together, and yeah, hopefully. But no, hope you guys are doing well. Hope your weeks have been good. I just want to talk to you guys about one simple word. It's just about courage. Courage, courage, courage. If you guys had to describe courage in your own words, what would you say? What would you say about it? Any willing people out there willing to tell what their definition of courage is out there tonight? Or no? Yes, Sierra. That was a pretty extensive definition. I didn't get it all because I heard Bob at the same time, but I did get some of it. You're talking about strength, being willing to stand, being willing to give others power. Those are all great things that courage actually deal with, which is really what I want to talk about tonight. And this is something that's really been on my heart and mind recently, honestly. Just like, I know with COVID and everything that we've had going on, it's been a good reflection time, not just for me, but I think for you guys, since everything has slowed down. And so what I've been thinking about is just, what are some of the ways that I can show just courage on a daily basis and just ultimately, be more courageous in my own life? I think it's very easy. Like I said, we go to a great church. It's very easy just to get into the mundane routine of things, of going to church, going to Thursday night, hanging out with friends, doing this, doing that, just being in our own little worlds and forgetting about what the true purpose of our life really is meant to be. And so, like I said, it's fun when we get to hang out and do those things and enjoy each other's fellowship. But at the end of the day, man, we live in a world that's going to hell. I mean, how often do we think about that daily? That I have literal friends, coworkers, family that are going to hell. I mean, if that's something that was really on my heart and mind daily, I think all of our lives would look differently. I know mine would, but you know, sometimes we just forget those things because we're just worried about having and enjoying those good times for ourselves. And so, thinking about this made me want to, like I said, just talk about courage. And there's a verse that I want you guys to turn to first. It's over in 2 Chronicles 19 and verse 11. And you're like, Chronicles, what's going on back there? Well, let's find out. And over there in 2 Chronicles 19 verse 11, it says this: "And behold, Amariah, the chief priest, is over you all in matters of the Lord, and that person's name, the son of Ishmael, the ruler of the house of Judah, for all the king's matters. Also, the Levites shall be officers before you. But this is the part that I want us to focus on. He says, deal courageously, and the Lord shall be with the good. Lord, I just want to thank you for this opportunity, just being able to open up the word with these kids tonight, and just give me the words to say and just remove my flesh out of the way, and just, Lord, help us just to have a great time and just to show them what it truly means to have courage. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So, guys, I want to talk to you guys about a story that really reminds me of someone who really showed courage in their life. This story is actually based off of one of the hymns that we often sing on Sunday morning. On one of the hymns we sing on Sunday morning is a simple song, just Have I Done My Best for Jesus? And it's a simple song, but I want to tell you the story behind that. There's a guy whose name was Edward Spencer. He was a student at Northwestern University in Illinois. He was a budding Olympics swimmer, and he was the first to win the gold medal for the United States in the Olympics. He had the strength and potential to do much more as an Olympic swimmer. If it hadn't been for one fateful day. So one day at Northwestern University, which basically sits on the banks of Lake Michigan, Ed was in the library studying, and he heard that there was news about a boat called the Lady Elgin that had collided with another boat and was sinking. People were drowning, and nothing could be done because of the strong currents within Lake Michigan. But what did Ed do? He ran from the library to the shores of the lake. He saw that situation was indeed serious. People were floating in the icy waters. I don't know if you guys have ever been up to like Minnesota or Michigan in the wintertime, but it's like a frozen tundra up there. We think it's cold here. It's about 20 degrees colder up there, and especially coming off that lake up there. And so they have these icy waters, and people, he could hear the people's cries for help from the shore. So, disregarding his own safety, he hops into action. Without hesitation, Ed stripped himself of his excess clothes and dove into the icy waters. He was able, with his Olympic strength, to reach the first person and bring them to the shore. He repeated this heroic act several more times before onlookers and friends began to say, "Ed, you've got to stop. You've done all you can. You'll kill yourself if you keep going." Ed did not hesitate. He replied, "I've got to do my best." And he plunged again into the water. Ed rescued 17 people in 16 trips in that pitching, roaring, cold storm. After the 16th trip, he collapsed and became unconscious on the shore. He was unable to go on. He lay there repeating, "Have I done my best, fellows? Have I done my best?" All night he battled for his life in the infirmary, continually repeating, "Have I done my best, fellows? Have I done my best?" Ed Spencer had done his best, but it cost him his health, his own health, and his future as a champion swimmer. He lived the rest of his life as a semi-invalid in Phoenix, Arizona. It is there, in a humble cottage, that NSYNC Edwin Young found him, who was the creator of the song, "Have I Done My Best." Mr. Ed had heard his story. Mr. Young, I'm sorry, had heard his story and heard that he could be found in Arizona. So he went looking for this hero. He found the man there, no longer a robust athlete, but a shadow of a strong man he once was. During the course of their visit, Mr. Young commended him for his heroic action and asked, "How have you been recognized during his life by the people for the lives that he saved that day?" With tears streaming down his eyes, the invalid's cheeks, he said this, not one person ever came back and even say thank you for the efforts he did that night. It was this retelling of his story that led Mr. Edsing to write the story or write the song, "Have I Done My Best for Jesus?" But what I want to point out with this story is, guys, he had a complete disregard for his own life. He showed courage in going out there and trying to save those other people's lives. He put his life aside for someone else. And if you really want to look at the definition of what courage really is, it's an action in putting others before yourself. And, you know, when I think about that story, it's very humbling because you had one man who gave up his life for 17. That sounds pretty similar to someone, but hey, this person, this one man gave his life up for the billions upon billions of people who have lived down here today. And more importantly, he's given his life up for each and every one of us today. But my question is, what has been our response to the life that he gave up for us? Have we showed courage on his behalf based on the courage that he showed that day on the cross for us? It took courage for Christ to go up there and to take on that burden of bearing my sins personally for me on that cross and for you. Well, today he's given us a job to be courageous. Well, as I told you over there in 2 Chronicles 19:11, he says, deal courageously and the Lord shall be with the good. So as I've been talking about this whole concept, like I said, I've been thinking about the friends, my family, the people that God has put in my life on a day in and day out basis. This is something that I've had to think about myself. How much do I try to mention the Lord or put him in situations that I'm in on a day-to-day basis? How many of us talk to our friends on a day-to-day basis in this room? Raise your hand. Okay, great. I mean, what do those conversations usually entail? Okay, how are you doing? Oh, how's the dog? Okay, what did you have to eat? Did you see this tweet? Did you see this funny thing here? Did you see this funny thing there? Great. Those are all great things, right? At the end of the day, what does it matter if you build those relationships on something that's so selfish and trivial that it never amounts to anything at the end of the day? Because if I'm not building that relationship for the true purpose of showing that person what the truth is about the Bible, what does it matter? I have to ask myself that. There are some friends I have I still keep in touch with. One of my friends, Matt, he's out in California. This guy was born a Catholic. Guess what? I told him about a new job opportunity that the Lord gave me. And he was like, you know, I want to take, I was like, he's like, dude, I think you got that job because of, you know, how we role played and did this and that and the other. I was like, you know what? I think you're right, man. And I was like, you know, God puts us all in, brought us together for this exact moment right here in your life, Alex. I was like, you know what? You're right, man. And I was like, it's funny because you mentioned that. I was like, you know, I know the Lord brought us together, you know, because he wanted me to share with you the truth about his word. Now you have a choice to do something with it. I said that to him. But it was just about me being bold, being courageous. Now, normally it would just be about me just sitting back and just kind of letting things go and just, you know, having small talk, but this and that and the other. But it's just like this, guys. Hey, we're not promised tomorrow. Is anyone here know that they're going to live to see tomorrow? So why would I take this opportunity and not utilize it for the Lord as all that I can? So there's three questions I want to ask us today. The first one is this. If not you, then who? If not you, then who? Who's going to do the job that the Lord has for you to do? Zach has talked about this many times within you all's lives. Only you can reach the friends that you guys have. Only I can reach the friends that I have. If you don't do it, who's going to do it? And this is something like it haunts me sometimes because I know sometimes I get within my own little world of thinking about what's going on in my world, my little selfish world. Oh, man. This didn't happen the way that I wanted it to happen. Well, guess what? You got a friend that's out there. If they die tomorrow, they're going to hell. That makes my little situation not look as significant anymore. There's a great verse over in Isaiah 53:8. Turn there with me. It talks about this. In Isaiah 53:8, this is giving a great account of what the Lord went through on the cross. But there are some questions that are asked over here. And there's some questions that the Lord needs answered. In Isaiah 53:8, it says this. And I'll pick it up in verse 7. And it says, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb. So he openeth not his mouth. Verse 8, and this is where we're going to focus. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And the question is who? And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off of the land of the living for the transgression of the people he was he stricken? And that's the first question. Who shall declare this generation? If not you, then who? If I don't do the job that God has put me down here to do, it's not going to get done. That's just a blank. That's just a blank or just an empty field that will never be fully utilized for what God wanted it to do. I think about it this way, too. There's a friend that I had growing up who I went to church with. His name was Michael Taylor. I'm talking about I knew this guy probably from the time I was like maybe six up until about a sophomore or junior into college. And so basically from the end point of high school, basically I knew him, you know, for the majority of my life. But basically we kind of got separated from when we left our old church and we started coming here and my dad started his church. But we still kept in touch, you know, and so we were cool friends. And when I started coming to Old Paths, he actually started coming to some of the Bible studies and things of that nature, which were great. It was fun. Enjoyed it. He enjoyed it, wanted to learn more about it. And then I went off to school down in Alabama. A great thing. But when I get down there, you know, he's still reaching out to me through, like, I can't remember. I think it was like Facebook or something. You guys probably don't even know what that is. I'm just playing. You do. But that was a cool thing back then, Facebook, guys. So he was reaching out to me through Facebook. We're still, you know, and talking about the Bible and just talking about life. But the thing was, there's a time where we got disconnected again when I was in college. I stopped checking in on him. I stopped being focused on that relationship that I had with him. And then what became of that relationship? Well, guess what? My junior year in college, I get a phone call from one of Mike's friends. Mike was shot and killed. A guy that I knew, a guy I grew up in church with, a guy that I had lost touch with again. It's a guy that somebody that the Lord put on my heart every day to reach out to. It was a guy that the Lord put in my world. Who knows what would have happened if I would have been consistent with that guy's life, where he would have been today. He's dead now. Do I know if he was saved? Not sure. I know he was raised in the church. That doesn't mean anything today. So what happened? I had an opportunity where the Lord put somebody on my heart, on my mind, and I rejected it. What happened? A life wasted. God got the glory out of his death. I know that, but I know he wanted to get the glory out of his life. I could have played more of a role in that. If not you, then who? Another way to think of that question is, if not you, then who will have missed out? Who will have missed out if we don't step up and be courageous right here, right now, in the day that God has called us to be courageous in? The second question, if not now, then when? If not now, then when? Turn with me over to Romans chapter 13. Romans 13. We're going to be the last four verses within that chapter. I think it starts in verse 11. Yes, it does. So it says this over in Romans chapter 13 and verse 11. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake. Out of sleep. Guess what? A lot of people are asleep today. They're not awake to what's really going on around them. And the sad thing is, that's where most Christians are today. We're asleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in the rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. This verse clearly says it. Now is the time, guys. Today. Like I said, I have to think about that daily. Who is the Lord put on my heart today to talk to? And how can I ultimately mention more to them about the truth of God's word right there in that moment? What's it going to take for me to do that? Me to lose another friend? I mean, that's a question we have to ask ourselves. And it's a humbling question, because it's just like, I know how easy it is to forget and just be like, well, tomorrow I got to go do this and then I got to get ready. Oh, who cares? Who cares? You're talking about someone's soul and in eternity. And like I said, this is right now is the time, guys. Right now is the time. And I said this just beginning with just how, hey, no one's promised tomorrow. We have to make do with what we have to today. There's a great movie I love watching, Rocky. Who loves watching the Rocky movies? I mean, that's a great series. I mean, for one, he reminds me of my Uncle Byron, who's almost like this, you know, fictional just character. I mean, if you met my Uncle Byron, you wouldn't think that he's a real guy, but he is. You know, he's almost like Rocky. He's just like, hey, yo, Adrian, how's it going? You know, how you doing today? I mean, he's got Buckus the dog and all this other good stuff. But it's just like, my Uncle Byron and Rocky, they're very similar. But what I love about Rocky is just his fighting mentality, his courage to go about doing things that day. But there's a great line that he says in one of the movies. I can't remember which one it is, but he simply says this. He says, "There is no tomorrow. There is no tomorrow." How many of us live our lives today as if there is no tomorrow? If we did, it would look differently. I mean, honestly, that's how you have to live each day. Like, hey, because this is what you have to understand. I will never get the opportunity tomorrow to get to do what I should have done today. I'll never get that time back. But we think we will. He's like, oh, I'll just do it tomorrow. Oh, I'll just do it tomorrow. Then tomorrow comes, and what happens? Oh, I'll do it the next day. And then you never get it done. You never get it done. This is a great quote by Dr. Bob Jones Sr., and he always says this. He says, the best preparation for tomorrow is to do what you ought to do today. And tomorrow you'll be where you ought to be. I'll say that again. The best preparation for tomorrow is to do what you ought to do today. And tomorrow you'll be where you ought to be. I mean, that's what it comes down to. If a man will do that today, what he ought to do, he'll never get out of the will of what God has for him in his life. It's plain and simple. There's another great verse over in Matthew 24 that goes along with this concept. Let's turn there. In Matthew 24, and we'll pick it up in verse 42 through 50. And over here, excuse me, we'll pick it up in verse 42, and it says this: "Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house hath known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up." Basically, he's saying if he knew what time he was going to come, he would have prepared. Well, the thing is, we got to prepare like that's right here, right now, because you never know. He says you don't know. He started off the verse like that in verse 42. "Watch there, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Therefore, be ye also ready," verse 44, "for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh, who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season. Blessed is the servant whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing." Doing. They're not sitting on their butts. They're not couch potatoes. They're in action. They're doing what the Lord has called them to do. You know, and this is the only time that we have right here is right now, guys. The Bible says this over in Ephesians: "Redeem the time, for the days are evil." You can buy back that time, but it starts right here, acting right now. So as I said, if not you, then who? If not now, then when? If not here, then where? If not here, then where? There's a lot of times people in their lives think about the grass is always greener on the other side. It's true, it is. but the bill is higher also. So there's a price to pay with it. And, you know, thinking about this, I want you guys to honestly think about this. Why were you born in America? Have you ever thought about that? Why weren't you born in Djibouti, Africa, on the backside of a desert? Why weren't you born in the middle of the Amazon forest, a part of some tribe? Why were you born in... All you guys are born in, like, the 2000s. That's so crazy. So... But yeah, why were you born in the 2000s? Why weren't you born back in 1000 AD? Why weren't you born in 1500 AD? Why weren't you born back in 2000 BC? Have you ever thought about that? Maybe you should. Why were you born to the family that you were born to? What if you had everything the same, but you were born to a different family? Or guess what? If you were just born in a different state and stayed there. I mean, all these things happen for a reason. But how have we utilized these things that God has set up for us today? If not here, then where? Where's the best opportunity for you to serve the Lord? Wherever you are. Right there. In a church that believes the book, preaches it, and shows you how to use it in your life. There's no better place. What else can you, what would be the best situation that you would have for yourself? Have you ever thought about that? What's the best scenario that you would have for yourself? And what does it always lead with? I bet it always leads with something selfish. Some goal that you have for yourself to uplift yourself, to be some kind of, who knows, icon or something within this world. Well, what does that do for others if all it does is lead them to hell? Nothing. If not you, then who? If not now, then when? If not here, then where? You know, courage has been said this, and this is a good quote that I heard from Dr. Ruckman. He says, courage is armor a blind man wears, the callous scar of outlived despairs. Courage is fear that has said its prayers. When it comes down to it, having courage doesn't mean that you're not afraid. It's about being afraid but still moving to do something. It's about knowing it's going to be hard, knowing it's going to be a challenge, but still taking that step of what? Faith. We walk by what? Faith, not by sight, right? That's what it truly means to have courage. These are some other things that I thought about that really takes courage. It takes courage to do what's right. It takes courage to say no. It takes courage to stand alone. It takes courage to fight. It takes courage to put others before yourself. It takes courage to lose. Who wants to lose? That's the last thing they teach you in America. But it's the number one thing where you're going to learn all your lessons is from loss. Lastly, it takes courage to trust God. If I had to sum all these things up, guys, it comes down to this with courage. God wants us to move with courage, and this is why. Turn back to 1 Chronicles 28. And we'll pick it up in verse 20. In 1 Chronicles, it says this. It says, and David said to Solomon, his son, be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. What I love about this verse is, this is David giving his son Solomon some orders and commandments basically of how he should operate. But the thing that's so beautiful about this is, it's a promise. I don't know if you guys ever did a study on courage, but it always starts off with, be strong and of good courage. Well, our strength comes from the Lord. So guess what? When I'm weak, the Bible says, then I'm made strong. That's when I can rely on the Lord to get me through that situation. And that's exactly what this strength is that he's talking about in verse 20. He says, be strong and of good courage. That strength is being strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, not my own, and do it. And when you do that, what does the Lord promise to do? He says, fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. There's a great verse back in Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20, but it says this. He says, go, and lo, I will be with you always to the end of the earth. But the first part is, you have to go. You have to take a step. There has to be some action. And then the Lord will come and he will be with you in that situation. It's the same thing that it required for each and every one of you to be saved here today. The Lord did his part. And then what? We had to take an action, a response to that. Well, the Lord has given us an action and a charge to do and to be courageous in this day and time. But have we taken that step? The Lord has done what he's required to do. Now it's up to us to take that step. And what will he do? He says, be strong in the Lord. Be strong and of good courage and do it. And then a little bit later, it says, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the Lord, for the house of the Lord. And this is the thing. He says he'll not leave that person until he's completed the work. How many people here can say that they've completed the work that God has called them to do today? I know I can't. So if there's still a job for me to do, the Lord is guaranteed that he'll be behind me. But have I made myself available for that work? That's the question. It's simply about being willing to be able to do what the Lord. It's not about me being able, it's just about being willing. The Lord doesn't need us, but he wants to use us. And it's a great verse because, like I said, it first requires us to take that step. The Lord has done his part. He's just waiting for us, and he'll be there with us. He wants to be there with us. And this is the last thing. When it comes down to it, when we take that step to be courageous, the Lord simply promises this. For our lives, he wants us to do what? Bear fruit. He wants us to bear fruit. But you can't bear fruit without being courageous. And this is what I mean. There's a simple quote that says this. It says, go out on a limb. That's where the fruit is. Have you guys ever been in a tree? How many of you ever climbed like a big, big tree? You get up in there. You're like, oh, this is fun. And then you get up a little bit higher. You're like, oh, crap. How high am I? You don't realize it. And then guess what? This quote says, get out on the limb. Because what? That's where the fruit is. How many people are willing to hang out on the limb where they barely have a grip? Guess what? That takes courage. You got to step out there if you really want the fruit, right? Or you could just be lazy like most Americans and get some machine to do it. But I mean, hey, the thing is this. I'm just using it as a picture. We have to get out on the limb. We have to be courageous to take that step because there's fruit out there. There's fruit out there that each and every one of us are leaving out there bare because we're not willing to go out there on the limb, to be hanging there, dangling, desperate, not having control of the situation. Well, great. That's exactly where God wants you to be so he can do the work. You don't believe me? Look right here in First Chronicles. A few pages back. I'm sorry. Actually, it's 2 Chronicles. Go back to 2 Chronicles 20. Okay. 2 Chronicles 20, I'll read verse 12 and then verse 15. It says this, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. That's exactly where the Lord wants us to be. Right there. When you're in a tree hanging up there, guess what? Your eyes are up. I'm hoping that branch doesn't break. That's exactly where you need to be. Your eyes up, looking to him. Look at verse 15. And he said, hearken ye, all Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou king Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor dismayed, by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Give it to the Lord. When you take that step, you know what you're doing? You're putting it right back in God's hands. He just wants to see if you're willing to take the step. See, find ways that you can interject Christ into your relationships with your friends. I mean it. In the conversations you have with them daily, see if you can find a way to bring it up to them. In those conversations, there's another friend I talked about, I talked with earlier this week, and he called me talking about the job situation that I had and this and that and the other. And, you know, he was like, you know, it's just kind of crazy where things are in the world right now. I was like, yeah, it is, man. But it's, you know, it's even crazier when you don't know where you're going to, when you don't know where you're going to go after you die. Said it to him. And I'm not saying this to build myself up and to say, oh, look at what Alex is doing. I'm saying this is things I should have been doing, but I stopped doing them. I got out of the practice of doing them. I stopped being courageous with those conversations. And you know what he said? This is a friend who isn't saved. He's like, yeah, man, it really is kind of scary when you don't realize that. You'll be surprised what your friends say when you talk to them about the truth of God's word and their responses to it. At the end of the day, it's our job to bear fruit. Turn back to John 15, 16, and this is where we'll end. Just take that step, guys. Put it back in God's hands. He'll guide you. He'll direct you. Is it unnerving? Yes, but he's right there with you. He promised. He has a job for you to do, but he'll be there right with you. But half the time, we never give him the opportunity to do anything because we're not willing to act and to move. Lastly, in John 15, 16, it says this. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit. That what? Your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. But you see the process in that? He says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should do what? Sit. That you should do what? Hesitate. That you should do what? Wait until the time is right. That you should do what? Go. Go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Let's bow our heads. Lord, I just want to thank you for this opportunity, just being able to talk with the youth tonight. I love them, Lord. I honestly don't know where I'd be without a lot of them. They're a great part of my life. They mean the world to me. And Lord, I want to apologize. I know I haven't given them everything that I could have. I could do so much better with being a better example and giving them the examples of what we should be in this day and time. And I thank you, Lord, for their consistency. I thank you for their parents bringing them. I thank you, Lord, for their love and their passion for you. And Lord, help us just to grow together. Help us just to apply these things that you gave me and put on my heart this week, and just to be able to apply it to our lives every day the rest that we have, Lord, because we don't know when you're coming back, Lord. But I know this, there is no tomorrow. I won't have another opportunity tomorrow to do what I should have done today. And I hope that they realize that and that, Lord, they utilize the times and the life that you've given them to go out and to just to really take a grip on this world and just to, Lord, just to be those bold people who will take action. Lord, this whole world is bold to be about sin and doing what's wrong, Lord, but help us to be bold and to be courageous about what's right. And just to smack this world right back in the face, Lord, and put it in its place. And I just thank you, Lord, for this church. I thank you for everything you've given us here. And help us just to be the servants that you would have us to be in this day and time. It's in your name we pray. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah, perfect, Alex. Very well said. Great stuff. You know, 2 points I want to touch base on that he brought up. The first one was how he said, you know, having courage to lose. I mean, that's what it's really all about. I mean, who needs courage to win? Like, when you know you're going to go out and dominate somebody. When you take the high school varsity football team and take them over to the preschoolers that are in wheelchairs, you know, it doesn't take a lot of courage to go beat up on them, all right? So that's what life is really about. Do you have enough courage to lose? I mean, and think of the people in the Bible that lost. You know, Abraham lost. You know, him and Lot saw a great land. And did Abraham win that great land? No, he gave the better land to Lot. You know, Moses lost. He was in Pharaoh's palace. But for God, he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to endure the pleasures of sin for a season. Jesus Christ lost. He was up in heaven, worshipped by the whole universe, came down here, made himself in the likeness of a man, became fashionable unto death, and died on that cross for you and I. But check this out. When you have courage to lose for God, he always gives you something better after that. Look what God did to Abraham. Look what he did to Moses. Look how he exalted Jesus Christ. So it's the same thing with us, guys. God's not going to ask us to be in a situation where he lets us come out worse in the end, where we can go back at him and blame him and be like, yeah, I should have listened to the devil. I should have went the world's way. Great point on that. And then the other one was really cool where he talked about over there in Matthew 28. You know, so that's the Great Commission over there where it's talking about, go ye therefore into all the world, you know, teaching unto all the nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. But then the second part, the go, the lo. If you go for God, then you get the lo. What does he say? Lo, I am with you, even until the end. So I thought about that. You guys ever like been praying to God before or just been living your Christian life and you feel like there's other people that have a close relationship to God than you do? Maybe you're praying and you feel like, man, is this even getting past the ceiling right now? I don't feel any spiritual essence. I don't feel anything going on between me and you, God. Okay, think about it. He said, lo, I am with you, but only when you're going and doing something for him. The reason you're not getting God's resources is because you're not doing a job for him, maybe. Why would God divert heaven's resources to your life? Why would he give you great spiritual zeal and feelings and joy in your life when all you're doing is going out living how you want to live? I'm not even saying it's bad. I think that's one of the misconceptions. You know, you think because you're not doing drugs or, you know, running around being promiscuous or doing all kinds of horrible things that you're doing what God wants you to do. Guys, no. There's tons of unsaved people that I know that probably live a more spiritual, self-righteous life than I do. But they're still going to hell. So think about that. You know, do you feel kind of estranged from God? Do you feel like when I pray, it just doesn't, there's something not happening here? Okay, are you going out and doing anything for God? Did you do any, are you doing anything that Alex talked about tonight, you know, in the life of your friends that you can do? In the first place, that starts. You know, it's not, maybe you got your heart touched tonight, and you're thinking, okay, yeah, tomorrow at school, I'm going to go, you know, handle that. Actually, the first place it starts is right here in that chair. It's confessing your faults before God, repenting of the ways you've been going, and saying, Lord, from this point on, I'm going to do something for you right now. Before I leave this church, if you bring me an opportunity, I'm going to make it happen. Before I get up and go outside to play kickball and lose the Zach's team, I'm going to make something happen for you, okay? So that's what it is, guys. It's here and now. Beautiful outline, everything, Alex. Great stuff. So I hope you guys were listening. You could have got some really good edification from that. All right, well, grab your stuff or actually leave it here. We'll come back in. We got about 20 minutes maybe, depending on how long Bob goes. But I got to stop by the laboratory real quick. But yeah.
I hope you got some courage to lose.
Oh, boy, don't worry about that. I got the ball and the bases right there by the door. You guys can go through that. Oh, yeah, I grabbed it. Thanks. Good idea. Good job, bro. Thanks, man. Yeah.
I wish you were there too.
Thank you. Why is that happening? Because you're supposed to pray. As long as you're I'm just so out of breath.
I know, dude.
Hey, good game.
Hey.